Genesis chapter 22, and we'll read this amazing story. Amazing story when you really think of it, and try to take yourself back to the first time you ever heard it. And I think the word shocking actually might apply when we read this story. Genesis chapter 22, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. But this story has a purpose, and God had a purpose, not just in Abraham's life, but for all of us. And it's all summed up in verse number 14. We'll begin in verse 1, and we'll end in verse number 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount the Lord, it shall be seen. We're going to take that beautiful little phrase there, Jehovah Jireh. We'll take that as the title of the message this morning, Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help, Lord, each and every one of us, dear God, as we listen to the Bible, help this preacher as I preach it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, whatever mountain, Lord, the folks in this room are climbing today, whatever difficult thing that they've been asked to face, whatever sacrificial thing they've been asked to do, Lord, whatever hard thing Lord, you may have required of us, Lord, that we would never forget, dear God, that you see and you will see to it. You see and you will see to it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This to me may be the most troubling story in all of the Old Testament. It almost seems impossible that God would ask this of any man, especially a man like Abraham. Abraham's not a young man. He's an old man now. His son Isaac is a young adult. Abraham is living out the closing chapters of his life. And by the way, a life that's been well lived, a life that has proven to God again and again his faith and faithfulness to Jehovah. And yet at this time, at the closing of his life, God asked the hardest thing he's ever asked of Abraham. Abraham was asked to do, let's just say that first of all, a hard thing. By the way, I just kind of searched through my mind, and I may be missing something, but I couldn't find no other place in the Bible where God asked a man to sacrifice his son. Only God himself would ask this of himself one day. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I think we'd all agree that Abraham was asked to do maybe the hardest thing that could have been imagined. Abraham was asked to sacrifice a precious thing. This is not just Abraham's son. This is, folks, the promised seed. From Isaac will come the Messiah. And by the way, knowing all of this, this doesn't make any sense. There's nothing more precious that God could have asked of Abraham than to ask him to sacrifice Isaac. By the way, yet the voice of God is clear. Understand it or not, that's what he asked. The details are pretty plain. There can be no mistake as to what God asked and what God expected of Abraham. Abraham was asked to exercise his faith in a way he never had before. Never had before. This was not, folks, an ordinary set of circumstances at all. Yet, think about this. Abraham complied. Abraham obeyed. And Abraham trusted the Lord. And we look in verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. So in verse chapter 2, God tells him what to do. The next morning early in verse number 3, he goes and does it. And then think about this. He takes his son, Isaac his son, verse 3, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And think about it. Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And I love that. He said, me and the lad's going to go, and we're going to offer, and we're both coming back. Now, I don't think that Abraham knew how that was going to happen. I don't know if Abraham figured out the details. I didn't know if Abraham decided that once he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead. I have no idea what the thinking is, but I hear the voice of faith here. I hear Jehovah Jireh. I hear the Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. Now think about that. So he then says in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, folks, can you imagine? Come on, you dads that have boys, you dads that have a son, you imagine taking that walk up the mountain with one of your boys. You imagine him asking him to carry the very wood that you're going to lay on that stone altar, the very wood that you're going to take that fire and plunge into that wood after you have taken the knife and ended his life. Here's a dad carrying fire in one hand and a knife in the other, and a young boy, a young man, carrying a bundle of wood, and they're walking up the mountain, and Abraham says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. Now, that had to be a quiet walk, but then we see that Isaac, come on, think about being asked this question, dads. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Think about this. Behold the fire. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, my son. By the way, Jehovah Jireh, we'll get to it. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Folks, I'll be honest with you. When I still read this And when I still picture this in my mind, it just sends cold chills up and down my spine. What an act of faith. Jehovah Jireh, God sees and God will see to it. Dad, yes. Here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And here's the answer, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now, folks, watch this. Because Abraham did these things, say, this is unreasonable. God had a plan. Preacher, I don't know if I could have done this. God had a plan. And by the way, I don't think he'll ever ask. We don't find it before. We don't see it afterwards. This is a one-time deal for God to show us that at times he's going to stretch our faith. And I don't think he'll ever ask any of us to do what he asked Abraham to do that day. But that doesn't mean that we all don't have a Mount Moriah waiting somewhere in the future for us. There's going to be some test of faith that you're not going to understand. There's going to be something that God asks of you that you're not going to have an explanation for. And it doesn't seem right and it doesn't seem fair. And yet, you know what? If you're going to pass the test, because remember, folks, in verse number one, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That word tempt means he tested him. How real is your faith, Abraham? How much are you willing to trust me? How much are you willing to believe me? How much are you willing to believe in the goodness of your God? And so Abraham passed the test. We read in verse 12 that we hear the angel of the Lord speak out, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. Watch this, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And so Abraham gained a new level of God's trust and God's admiration. Abraham provided for us this story in the Bible, I think, to help us with our faith. God wanted this in the Bible. So when we are faced with some things that God asks of us that maybe sometimes doesn't make sense, we'll learn to say Jehovah Jireh. We'll understand a Jehovah Jireh level of faith in God. Think about that. Abraham got to experience a Jehovah Jireh moment. Some of you have experienced that. You can already, I look at some of our senior saints and I could start really from the front here, work my way down one side, back up the other, and there's been Mount Moriah's that's in your rear view mirror. There's been times where God has asked some things of you that didn't seem right and didn't seem fair, and he tested your faith at a level you've never had it tested. And by the way, senior saints, don't you wish it would just stop at maybe 50, 55, you know, and after that we could coast to the finish line? But, you know, this was Abraham in his old age, and still God's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? If I ask something greater than I've ever asked before, would you still do it? Are you still on board? Are you still with it? Are you still in on this thing? And senior saints, let me say this. There never ought to come a time where we ever tell God no about anything. I don't care what we faced in the past. I don't care how many mountains we've had to climb. You know what? If God asks it, then you know what we ought to say? Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Amen. Whatever you need. And so what does Jehovah Jireh mean, preacher? You keep using that term. Jehovah Jireh, first of all, has a definition. It literally means the Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. The Lord sees. Now that's important. The Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. Some people have simplified it some and said, the Lord, he will provide. And they base that on the statement that Abraham used here in this story. And it's not a bad definition, but in purity, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. And so here comes Abraham and he's climbing that mountain and he's thinking, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees, the Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. When Isaac asked that question, hey, where's the sacrifice? We have the wood, we have the fire, and I don't see the sacrifice. Well, the Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. The Lord knows where the sacrifice is, and when we need it, He'll provide it. Now think about that, folks. I think as Abraham, I kind of tried to spend some time walking up the mountain with him the last couple of days, and I thought to myself, that had to be a long walk up that mountain. And maybe besides the conversation that we read, it was a quiet walk. And you know what? Can you imagine everything that's going through the mind and heart of Abraham? And then to hear his son voice that very question, and he gives the right answer. But don't you think maybe the devil about halfway up that mountain wouldn't start sitting on his shoulder and saying, are you sure God sees? Are you sure God sees? Because I'm not sure He knows what you're going through. I'm not sure He's remembered what He's asked of you. I'm not sure He's anywhere near this place. Maybe God's distracted. Maybe God's forgotten. Maybe God's taken the day off. Maybe He's just forgot about you. And you know what I think Abraham said to the devil? The Lord sees. The Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. That don't mean the devil didn't keep riding him. And you know what? Maybe it got to the point where literally to get to the top of that mountain, he would take one step and say, the Lord sees. And then he'd put the next step foot in front of that last foot. And he'd take another step and he'd say, and the Lord will see to it. And he'd take another step and say, the Lord sees. And then he took another step and said, the Lord will see to it. And folks, that's called walking by faith and not by sight. And that's what every single Christian is supposed to do. That's exactly how we're supposed to live our life. But preacher, it don't make sense. If it made sense, you wouldn't have to trust the Lord. Preacher, I don't know if God's in control. And He's in control. He hasn't lost authority in your life. He's still on the throne. He knows what He's doing. Listen to me. Take the next step and say, the Lord sees. And then take another step and say, the Lord will see to it. And I don't care what the devil's told you. He's a liar. He always has been a liar. Don't listen to him. The Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. Jehovah Jireh will get you to the top of the mountain. Think about that. Jehovah Jireh has a definition. Jehovah Jireh is a proclamation. By the way, it's something we ought to probably say out loud from time to time. It's a proclamation of faith. Dads, maybe your children need to hear their father say from time to time in the home, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Daddy, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what that means, son. Daughter, let me tell you what that means. God sees, and God will see to it. And that is how we're going to live our lives. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know why? Because we have a Lord worth serving. It's a proclamation of faith. It's a proclamation of trust. It is a moment of time when a man or a woman, come on, completely and fully places their trust in God to work out a situation or to provide a need. It's a complete act of faith with no reserve that believes that God sees my situation and God will step in to provide a solution even if I cannot see how in the world it could possibly be done. So Jehovah Jireh has a definition, and Jehovah Jireh is a proclamation. And by the way, folks, it's very interesting. Jehovah Jireh is a specific location. Did you see that in verse number 14? And Abraham called the name of that what?
Place.
That place. Jehovah Jireh. That place. It was called Jehovah Jireh. You know why? Because he had to fully trust God. He had to give up on all sight and completely do this by faith. He had to climb a mountain where he put one foot in front of the other, and he didn't have any more answers halfway up the mountain that he had at the beginning, and he didn't have any more answers at the top that he had halfway up. But there's two things that sustained him. God sees me, and God knows where I'm at, and God knows what I'm facing, and God knows what the need is. And when God decides, God will see to it. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about wait till the last minute. I don't know about it in your life, but it seems like that's the way God operates a little bit here. You know, wouldn't it be nice if halfway up the mountain he would have found that ram stuck in a bush, you know? And Isaac would have said, well, Father, there's the wood and there's the fire, but where's the well, there's one right there. And he could have rejoiced all the way up the top of the mountain, you know. Or maybe when he got to the top of the mountain, even before he started building an altar, he spotted that. You know, it would have taken a lot of pressure off. But you know what? God let him build that altar, and he still was saying, God sees it, and God will see to it. And he laid that wood on top of that altar. Think about this. And I think God's just holding back saying, am I going to be Jehovah Jireh in your life? Are you going to really trust that I see? Are you really going to trust that I will see to it? And he's putting wood on that fire. And then he turns around and there's no offering except for Isaac. And the Bible says he binds him. Think about that. He's tying his own son. Why? Because the last marching orders were you take your son to the mountain and you offer him for a sacrifice. And you know what? Bible says he laid him on the altar. You talk about wait till the last minute. And then it says he reaches for the knife. And then, come on now, and then the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham. And folks, listen to me. You know what? It's not going to build our faith much if God comes a lot of times and with an answer when we're a third of the way up the mountain. I'm sorry, but that's not much of a faith builder. And sometimes, you know what? He's not going to show you the solution halfway up the mountain. He's not going to show you a solution three quarters of the way. You know what he wants you to do? Listen, put one foot in front of the other and keep saying these two things. God sees and God will see to it. God sees and God will see to it. God sees and God will see to it. But wait a minute, Pastor. I see the wood and I see the fire. But where's the offering? God sees and God will see to it. What about that? What about that? You know what, folks? Jehovah Jireh is a specific location. Some of you right now, if I ask you, you could stand up and say, Preacher, I could go back to a specific spot where there was a Jehovah Jireh moment in my life. And by the way, folks, in the life of most Christians, there are specific locations that we can go back and visit where we learned something. We learned that Jehovah does see us. We learned that Jehovah God will see to it in his time. He will provide. He will provide. And you know what, folks? I think Abraham, I got to thinking about this location, Mount Moriah. You don't think for the rest of his life, Abraham on a clear day when he could see the top of Mount Moriah didn't turn around and look at that and say, Jehovah Jireh, God saw. And God saw to it. What about Isaac for the rest of his life? He walked up that mountain with his dad. You don't think long after he buried his daddy, he didn't sometime on his travels go by and see Mount Moriah in the back, in the distance and say, you know what? God sees and God will see to it. And listen, every one of us needs some Mount Moriahs in our life where we can go back and take a look and say, I didn't know how God was going to do it. I didn't understand what God was doing. I didn't know where the solution was. And you know what, Preacher, you're right. God took it all the way to the last end, but you know what? At the end of things, he showed himself strong and he showed himself mighty and he provided what I needed just when I needed it. And everyone needs Mount Moriahs. Mount Moriahs in your life. Say, Preacher, why do you go every year to Brazil, Indiana, and then go north and drive by your old homestead and then drive on out to the Rock Run Baptist Church in Diamond, Indiana, and just walk around the parking lot and spend some time praying and shouting because it's one of my Mount Moriahs. And by the way, everybody in here that's been born again, that's one of your Mount Moriahs. That's one of your Mount Moriahs. God saw you. God saw you. And you know what? When it was his time, God saw to it that you had an opportunity to hear the gospel. And by the way, he provided a sacrifice for all of us. Think about that. He provided a sacrifice for all of us. You know, as a young person growing up, you know what? Your mom and dad, come on, young people, you need to hear me say this. Your mom and dad face Mount Moriahs that you don't even know that they're facing, and they face a lot of things and carry a lot of things for you. But you know, there's going to be a point in time where, you know what? You're going to have to go out and you're going to have to grow up and you're going to have to find God for yourself too. And you know what, folks? I can drive all the way to Crown Point, Indiana. I can go to a little Bible college there. And you know, I can walk around and show you different places where God had, where, listen, I'm glad I've got in my Bible college days some Mount Moriah, Jehovah Jireh moments where I can go back and say, God did it. He saw it and he did it. And it maybe wasn't my way, but it was his way and it was good. You think about all through your life. And by the way, like I said, we have testimonies all over the room. I've watched even, by the way, I mentioned our senior saints, but I've watched a lot of our young couples have to climb a Mount Moriah. And I've watched them struggle in their faith. And I've watched them sometimes think to themselves, is God even aware of what we're going through? Is God seeing what we're going through? Because I don't have an answer, preacher. I don't have an answer. And I've watched these couples put one foot in front of the other and just say over and over to you. By the way, wives, listen to me. Don't you be a Job's wife. Don't you be a foolish woman. You're going to be asked to go through some hard things. Don't you be tempting your husband to turn his back on God. You know what, husbands? You need to strengthen your wife during the hard times. And wives, you need to strengthen your husband during the hard times. And hard times are not brought into your life to separate you and drive you apart. They're brought into your life to pull you together. And you know what? Grab each other's hand, walk up that mountain, and keep saying, God sees it, God sees it, and God will see to it in his time. Well, that's a good way to live your life. Brother Bud, I know you've had some Mount Moriahs, more than one. I look around the auditorium and I see many of our widow ladies. God bless you. And you know what? There was a time when God asked you, come on, he asked something of your faith that you hoped you'd never have to face, but he asked it. Come on, he's asked it. But you know what? He saw, and he's still seeing to it. And you read this King James Holy Bible, you know what you'll find out? Widows hold a special place in the heart of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. He cares about the widows. God cares about the widow. And you know what? He's still there. He's still there. He's there in those lonely times. He's there in those dark times. He's there in those evening times when sometimes it's the worst, but God's there. God's there. You know, folks, I got to thinking, I don't know, maybe this is why God wanted me to come in this morning. Because, you know, I don't know who's climbing what mountain. I don't know everything's going on. I don't need to know everything's going on. But I think the Lord told me this morning, there's a lot more people climbing Mount Moriah right now than probably you know, preacher. And maybe they just need you to show up at church this morning and just remind them, Jehovah Jireh. God sees it. Come on, young men. It's just not older people that go through Mount Moriah times. And it's the devil. Come on, he's good at it, sitting on your shoulder saying God doesn't care. God has forgot about you. He's not even paying attention. You're going through this all by yourself. That's a lie. That is a lie. You know, you've got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, folks, let God, think about this. Let God show you a Jehovah Jireh place in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Abraham could have missed it. When I read verse number 2, what God asked, and then I read verse number 3, I'll be honest with you. Verse number 3, I could have read a different story. I could have read a Jonah reaction. And you know what? I couldn't have half blamed Abraham if he did. But folks, listen, I wonder sometimes as we're trying to run away from hard things that God's brought into our lives, I wonder what we would learn and what level of faith we would gain if we just learned instead to say, if this is what God's asked of me, then you know what? One foot in front of the other, God sees and God will see to it. And then you take another step. Preacher, you keep saying this. I'm going to keep saying it. I hope you'll never forget it. Because this is the way you have to live the Christian life. It's not always going to make sense. It's not always going to seem fair. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to require great sacrifice. Sometimes what God asks is even going to seem unreasonable. But you know what? If you can just learn to take your right foot, go forward a step, and then say, God sees it. And you take your left foot, you put it in front of that one, and you say, and God will see to it. God sees it, and God will see to it. You know, folks, let God show you a Jehovah Jireh place. Don't question it. Don't run from it. I want to say this. Please listen. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He hasn't forgotten about you. He still sees. He's watching you. He's watching you struggle up that mountain. He sees all the emotions whirling around inside of your heart and the confusion in your head. Preacher, there doesn't seem to be a solution. Well, Abraham couldn't see one either when he was climbing up that mountain. But you know what? Think about this. He sure had a story to tell when he was climbing back down. I don't want to miss the top of Mount Moriah. I don't want to miss it. I want to be able to look back later on and see that the fog lift and the clouds on a clear day and see the top of that mountain and say, I remember that. I remember when God had that ram all the time waiting for me. And so don't miss that. You know, I also jotted this down. Think about this. Let God use you to create a Jehovah Jireh moment in someone else's life. I read something the other day that I thought was good. How about this? Be the reason someone believes in the goodness of God this week. You know, one of the commands that we're given in Galatians chapter 6 is this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And one of the responsibilities of our church is to understand that people are going to have some Mount Moriahs. And here's the thought I had, okay? And it may be crazy. This may be where Jerry is crossing the theology line into the imagination, overactive imagination of Jerry Ross. But folks, listen to me. Sheep aren't wild. They're not out there living in the wild. And if they are, they're lamb chops pretty quick. That ram belonged to somebody. That ram belonged to somebody. I wonder if a shepherd woke up one morning and he looked over the flock and said, where's that ram at? Where's the ram at? And so he takes off looking at trying to track it. And as he's searching for it, you don't remember the time that Jesus told the disciples, now you go to such and such place, and you go get that donkey, you know, that and you bring that donkey because I'm going to ride it in. And they start untying it, and they say, hey, well, excuse me, what are you doing? And the disciples were told to say this, the Lord hath need of him. That's what happened. And maybe this guy's out looking for his ram. Again, I have no idea. But that ram belonged to somebody. And I got to thinking, you know what, maybe as this guy's looking for his ram at some point, maybe the voice of God said to that man, just stop looking, the Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. Can you imagine this guy getting to heaven one day and finding out, come on, Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, you know, and say, you know, that ram that I was determined to track down, God just kind of said, let it go. Let it go. I'm using something you have. Listen, I'm using something you have to provide a Jehovah Jireh moment for someone else. Think about that. I think God has blessed some of us in ways maybe he hasn't blessed other people. And you know what, folks? I think we need to be hyper aware that God does not give us an abundance to squander. And I think American Christians need to hear that. The Christian life, properly lived, ought to be a life of sacrifice. I'm watching too many independent, fundamental Baptist people and even preachers way too invested in toys and things and the pleasures of life. And you're missing opportunities to be a blessing. Okay? If God's been good to you, then you be good to somebody else. Because that ram belonged to somebody. And you know what? in our lives, me and my wife have been able to provide Jehovah Jireh moments for a lot of people. And you know what? I'm going to continue to live that way. You know why? Because I'm not taking it with me, and neither are you. And neither are you. Well, Abraham put that foot in front of the other all the way up that mountain. Over and over again, the Lord sees, and the Lord will see to it. Hey, Dad, you know, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? The Lord will provide himself a lamb. He'll provide himself a lamb. Folks, you know what? 2,000 years ago, there was another. Now, come on. There was somebody else's son that walked up a hill. And he bore his cross. And you know what? God chose that time not to have a substitute. You know why? He was the perfect substitute. Matter of fact, they had that discussion in Gethsemane where Jesus prayed, you know what, Lord, if there's any other way to do this, if this cup can pass from me, then let it be so, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I think the Father looked at the Son and said, Jesus, there's no other way. There is no other way to redeem mankind. And you know what? Jesus was willing to carry that cross and to be that sacrificial lamb so that each and every one of us would have the opportunity to be born again. So don't think God unreasonable for what he asked of Abraham. He never asked of Abraham anything that he wasn't willing to do himself. And by the way, he spared Abraham the heartache of sacrificing his son. But he took that heartache. And he did that because he loves you. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that act of love ought to overwhelm you this morning. Because that's a big deal. He did not have to send his son, but he chose to send his son to die on the cross for my sins and yours. If you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you know what? The Lord has provided. Come on, he has provided the perfect sacrifice for you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the Bible. And thank you for this story, Lord. Again, at first reading, it's shocking that you would ask such a thing. And yet, Lord, how would we ever be introduced to this concept of Jehovah Jireh had not this story taken place? Thank you that you see, and thank you that you will see to it. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Isaac, don't worry about it. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, as we have some folks struggling up Mount Moriah, Lord, that they would be reminded this morning that you see and that you will see to it. So give them strength and give them the faith that they need. And Lord, give them, dear God, a willingness to obey. And Lord, I pray, dear God, because of what they're going through, their faith will be mightily increased. We pray these things in Jesus' name.